Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. Ain't made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Bro, so a week ago I went and wrestled out in Vegas, came home, felt pretty good about life. This week, my kid goes, Dad, can you play in the kids versus parents last practice of the year soccer game? And I skidded out on some freaking turf and some wet grass, essentially, and I strained my MCL.
Oh my God.
It's like, are you serious? So I got my red light therapy thing strapped to my knee right now. I'm trying to feel better. We hosted the freestyle state tournament in Illinois yesterday at our high school, or this weekend at our high school. We spent all day Friday setting up 14 mats. We ran it all day Saturday. I got home maybe an hour and a half ago. I'm cooked. I am absolutely freaking cooked.
Yeah, I was cooked today too, but I got one of these bad boys. We're not being paid by them, but a Sunkist Zero Sugar. My cousin turned me onto those things. I was like, you know, I need a little bit of caffeine, a little bit of a pick me up here this show.
I got a glass of the. It's called the Best Damn Tea, right? It's some iced tea. It's a very very early 2000s title, but they actually live up to it. It's pretty damn good iced tea, quite frankly.
Nice. Yeah, man. I occasionally during the Impact show, I will fall asleep on the air, so I have to make sure they got a little bit of caffeine nearby, so I don't start yawning.
Been there.
Yeah. So
remember the time on the show I fell asleep in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah, you did. You were just out.
And I was like, just woke up and come on. And I realized what I was doing, and I'm like, Mike, I think I just fell asleep in the middle of a sentence.
You're like a Trump during a press briefing. Like he's signing a bill and he just falls asleep.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
How's your weekend? But,
weekend's been pretty good, man. We cleared out the garage yesterday, so I've been waiting to do that for a while. So that was nice. I took out a bunch of stuff. Like, you just get into your garage and you're just like, all I have out here is shit. I don't need any more shit. I don't need any of this shit. And it's just getting in the way. There's been times where I just can't even get to my garage door because we just have shit. So I was like, look, if it's not imperative, I'm taking it to the dump. And my wife's like, no, we have to donate it to charity. I'm like, okay. All right. Let's set aside. I want one load for the dump and one load for the Goodwill. Right. And then we have we have bags of clothes because I had to get rid of stuff in my closet. And I'm like, there's these drop boxes that goes to the county so that way they can give it to the shelters and stuff like that. So I made three different trips to shelters, Goodwill, to the dump, and just got rid of tons of shit this weekend. And it felt so good. I can actually take a picture of my garage without telling AI to clear out some of the shit behind me.
We did that about 3 weeks ago. Got rid of all the shit in the garbage and in the basement. We had a flood. I think I talked about on the show. We had a little flood in the basement. So we were clearing out some stuff. Do we need this? Some of it gets donated, but there's a lot of stuff that just has to get put in the trash, man.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. All right. Let's get to the chat. We do have a big story that we're going to talk about, but let's just see what the chat has to say tonight. What do you guys want to talk about? We're all ears. We're hoping to get to an hour tonight, but we'll see. XWF says TKO can go F themselves. Man, brother, you're starting off hot.
Why does it? Okay, here's my legit question is why does this? And we all know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But WWE is TKO. Vince McMahon and Nick Khan are responsible for this. So why do we have to say TKO? Why can't we just say WWE?
I think they're just saying all the above, because what WWE is doing is very much the same thing that UFC's been doing, and it's been more prevalent under TKO, right? True. So, which I have theories about that. All right, Gerard says,
I do too. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Gerard says Bioflex red light therapy. Brother, you could use some of that after the weekend you've had.
I got a red light therapy thing on my knee right now. Maybe it's quack science, but I go for it. My knee feels better. Yeah.
So TNA, when they do their commercials for Bioflex, that's their big sponsor. They show wrestlers getting red light therapy in the back and stuff like that. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah. I get it. 100%.
Yeah. Let's see. The heat is on. So who's ready to start throwing waffles in the AEW crowds in 90 days?
That's going to happen, man. There is just no doubt in my mind.
No doubt about it. Pretty sure TKO will screw Roman Reigns. I don't see that one.
Maybe in time.
He's like 45, 50.
He's like 40 right now. Like Roman's older. People age differently. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Roman's got a power. They never really screwed John Cena.
It's because John Cena never stopped drawing money, right? Like, he always business always went up when he came around. So
I just realized you called yourself Dick Gilbert on the lower third this week.
Oh, so you didn't even hear that story? No. You're not on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah.
I've been banned.
On. Yeah, let me go to my page really quick. I can bring this up. Okay. I'm going to bring this up. Sorry, guys. This is bad radio. But TNA fans love me. They really do.
Dude, I saw someone cussing you out on Reddit last week, and I was going to send it to you, and I lost it, and I forgot till just now.
Yeah. So this guy, Skid McMarks, at ButtNuster220, seems like a very reasonable human being, seems like a good person. Says also, he's in an argument with somebody. Dick Gilbert whines a lot about TNA and talks mad shit for a guy who claims to be a fan. Moose needs to tell him to shut the fuck up again. And then, of course, so I have this guy blocked because he's one of my mini trolls. But naturally, my friends, my good friends, anytime someone talks shit about me, has to send it to me. Like, you love.
Oh, I would have. I absolutely would have.
So I put, I haven't been called Dick Gilbert since my Korea tour in 2011. So I thought that was funny.
You can't make, what was his name? Skid McMarks?
Skid McMarks. Yeah. Yeah. If you can't make that very fine human being happy, I don't know who you can make happy at all.
What are we doing? Like, why are we even in this? Dude, I love the fact that in the voice of wrestling world, everybody just shits on you for being the TNA guy, but the actual TNA fans fucking hate you. I mean, there's that's how you know you're doing a good job, to be honest with you. No one likes you.
Yeah, the voices of wrestling people hate me because I like TNA, and the TNA fans hate me because I don't like TNA enough. You know, it's like what those. It's like you can't fucking please anybody, but that's fine. That's fine.
Too crazy for Boys Town. Too much of a boy for Crazy Town.
There you go.
One of my favorite Simpsons lines.
Nicholas Riley Hopewell as well. I already know AEW is going to go after Kofi and Austin Creed. Wow, you're already using his government name. With extreme aggression. No, it's not. Yeah. With aggression. That's his, what was his TNA name?
It
was
Consequences Creed.
Consequences Creed. That's right. With extreme aggression, but it would be a moment if they decided to cross the line first. Okay. We're going to stop it right here. TNA fans, I love you guys. You know that I love you. I love you dearly. It's not going to fucking happen. Okay. Those guys are making 7 figures a year, right? Because they were big time merch movers with the New Day gimmick. That was a big time act for a long time.
A decade.
And that is a long time to be a top act.
Pro wrestling? That's a long time.
Yeah. Now they've cooled off the last couple of years because Big E got hurt, obviously, and then they turned him heel. That didn't quite work out. But they're still 7-figure guys. TNA would not pay them 7 figures at all because they would never get the return on investment. So there's just no reason for them to write a check like that. Plus, they don't have the money. They're not doing it, guys. TNA's out of the question.
No, they're not crossing any lines. Like
no. Okay,
We'll touch on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll go ahead and just start the conversation there because I think a lot of it was pretty much the same. So, let me get to this. So the WWE releases. So we had a new round of releases on May 2nd. So we had the New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, JC Mateo. What a dumb name. It's Jeff Cobb. And Tonga Loa from the Gorillas of Destiny all got released. Tonga Loa surprisingly got released because he's terrible.
Horrible professional wrestler.
One of the worst professional wrestlers of all time to ever be on television, I would say. And he's been on television for a long time because he was an OG TNA guy too back in the day. And he was also in the WWE as they had him playing a Mexican character at one point.
Did they?
They did. Hey, chat, let me know what the hell he was called whenever he was in WWE, whenever he was playing. They're having him play a Mexican character.
He was a working Mexican?
I think so, yeah. And then he was in Camacho. That's right. He was Camacho in the WWE.
I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's so insensitive on so many levels.
Yeah. So, he's been around a long time and he is terrible. One of the worst pro wrestlers I've ever seen in my life. But
one of my favorite gifts is that thing from, I think it was from G1 a few years back, where he's like doing these horrible thrust strikes.
Yes.
Into Okada. And, you know, Kazuchika Okada, one of the greatest professional wrestlers in history, has to sell these god awful strikes. Like, it pays to have family in the business. Like,
yeah,
Meng Haku is so respected that they just keep giving his kids jobs, even though they're fucking horrible. Well, actually, Tama Tonga is pretty good, actually. But Tonga Loa and what do they call him? What do they call Hikaleo there now? Tala Tonga, something like that.
He's tall, so they call him Tala Tonga.
The stupidest.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, all right. Let me get back to my story here. All right. Departures were confirmed when the wrestlers were moved to the alumni section. They formed part of a second wave of post-WrestleMania 42 roster cuts following an initial 23 to 24 releases that included the Wyatt Six, Aleister Black, Zelina Vega, Kairi Sane, and others. Reports consistently come from Fightful Select, Body Slam, and Wrestling Observer. So the New Day is a little bit different with their releases. So they were actually asked to renegotiate their contract. So this is a mutual parting, not a standard release. So Kofi and Xavier mutually agreed to leave WWE. It was not due to contract expiration. Instead, they were asked to renegotiate and restructure from a TKO. So their multi-year deals, they re-signed in 2025. While a year into their deals, they're asked to restructure. Were not up, and they were projected to run well into 2030. WWE TKO approached them about restructuring to new TKO deals. They reviewed the offers, did not like the terms, declined, and requested their release, which WWE granted. That was from Brian Alvarez. So, yeah, man, they're on a 90-day release, but they are, gone from the WWE. Kofi Kingston was there for almost 20 years, man. It's crazy.
Dude, he had a hell of a run, like way longer. Then when he first showed up with that fake Jamaican accent, I don't think anybody thought that dude would have the run that he had. And it's like a legendary run. Like, he's got to be around my age. I mean, like, kudos.
Yeah.
Kudos to Kofi Kingston for having a fantastic run, right? I think we can all agree that Tony Khan – I know, like, there's someone in the chat's like, oh, Tony Khan's going to sign everybody. I know that's the knock on Tony, but he didn't sign anybody from last year other than he had Isla Dawn working some ROH.
Yeah.
Like the Hurt Business left and came on their own. Like, that wasn't a release situation.
Their contracts were up. Yeah.
Yeah. They left. They decided to leave. Like, they didn't, they wanted to leave. That's different. Like, that being said, these dudes 100% are coming to AEW. Nick and Matt Jackson and Kenny Omega love those guys. And they had a little online, not feud, but they would have played each other back and forth over video games and stuff like that for like well over a decade. Like, this is going to happen. It's going to be a pretty good match, actually. Like, I think that makes sense. I think they can make money. I think there's, like you said, New Day are money makers. I think if with a fresh coat of paint and a new environment, they will, and they still have good matches, they will continue to make money in AEW working against the Elite. And I think people want to see that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, we're actually going to find out if they can have good matches because they were silly asses for so long. And they weren't really having those dynamic, you know, AEW style epic matches. They had some good matches with the Usos for sure. But we'll see if they can come in and actually, you know, compete, like keep up with the Young Bucks and keep up with FTR, keep up with tag teams like that. I'm curious to see what they do because, you know, these are the guys that came out dancing on unicorns and slapping their asses and throwing pancakes to the crowds and talking about bootios and all the horse shit they were doing. We'll see if they can, if that stuff is going to get over in AEW. I think it will. And we'll see if they can actually go in the ring a little bit.
I think where they will succeed, where Matt Hardy struggled, was I think that they will know how to tailor their act and be able to lean into work because the Bucks are going to have good matches. What hurt Matt Hardy was the broken stuff worked really well in both AEW and WWE, but I think AEW fans want to watch wrestling ultimately, and that's really where Matt Hardy struggled. Jeff would work just fine, but Jeff says Jeff things. So that's what hurt that. The New Day will be fine. I think this is going to work. Kofi Kingston had really good matches as world champion. With Bryan Danielson was fantastic. It was a few years ago, but I mean, the world is just different. Like, people age differently. Like, I think that they're still good. I think that this could work. It's a shame that Big E is out because I think that trio works better than the tag team, but I think it's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I do too. I just am curious how the AEW fans take that. You know, anybody coming from main roster WWE, they usually pop pretty big for because a lot of AEW fans are closeted WWE fans. They just want the wrestlers to wrestle more.
Well, remember when I look at Tommaso Ciampa? Like, I'm one of the guys that kind of rolled my eyes when he came in there, but he's done pretty good work in the company, and he hasn't been super annoying. Like, he can be, he does have that Shawn Michaels over melodrama vibe, but he's kept it kind of more toned down than he did in WWE. So I think that these guys they're pros, because I think one thing we don't take into consideration is good professional wrestlers know how to tailor their act to a certain audience, and the New Day being a good live act because they can read a crowd is gonna work well for them here. You know, I think they're the one group that I think can work in this whole thing.
Yeah, they're one of the most over acts that I've ever seen live. Like, me too. Because I saw them live in I was there at WrestleMania 1 year, and then I saw them in San Jose at a Raw, and they come out and like the people just went fucking crazy for those guys. Like, they were just super over, and this would have been like a decade ago when they were like at their peak, and that carried over for a long time. Their run was weird. You know, once Big E got hurt, it kind of like the whole thing was just really tough once Big E got hurt. And then I think when Big E got the title, that actually kind of hurt the group a little bit too, because he got the title and he was still doing some silly stuff, and he just didn't really get over as champion, unfortunately, because he didn't really update the act to be a main event act, and they kind of wanted to continue doing silly.
Yeah, it worked better with Kofi as champ than it did with E as champ for some reason. Yeah. Like, it just, I don't know if it's because E is a monster and people wanted to see something a little more serious from him, whereas Kofi, it was like this underdog storyline. Mm-hmm. So it kind of worked in that regard. So, like, it's like I said, the one thing I worry about is does the act work in a different place with only 2/3? Because it's like the Freebirds, right? And the New Day is the most successful trio other than maybe those Freebirds and the Von Erichs. Like, the two-man Freebird acts weren't the same, but like Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin are Freebirds. It was different, though. It was still good, but it wasn't like the Freebirds, you know?
It wasn't a top act whenever it was Michael and Jimmy.
Right.
You needed Michael Buddy, and you needed Terry Gordy. Terry. Like, that was the top act. Yeah.
But, like, it wasn't supposed to be a top act when Terry Garvin was part of Freebirds. So that's kind of where Terry Garvin was doing other things. I'm curious to see, if you know, you know. I'm curious to see what happens, because I'm more convinced. Can they in the All In show?
Yeah, 90 days. I think they could be on the All In show.
I think the Bucks know what they're doing in Wembley.
I think so too. Yeah,
like they're gonna help them sell seats in Wembley. I think they have to sign the New Day.
I think that deal is probably already done. It's like, that's a no brainer signing. So the problem is, and Chad, I'm gonna get to you guys. I think the problem, and it's not a huge problem. You know, AEW has just so many wrestlers and so many acts. I think somebody made a list. There's like 25 tag teams in the company. And they're going to come in and be a top act right away because they're, you know, super famous. But it's just, it's like, how many more people can AEW sign? Now, there's no salary cap, although Dave did go, well, actually, they can't sign everybody because if they did, they would have Roman Reigns. And I was like, no, there is, they don't have like a hard line that they're not willing to go over because they continue to push over, right? They continue to sign more and more people and nobody's leaving, right? Like very few people leave, but a lot of people get signed every year. And I do wonder, like, when is that dam going to break? Like, how many people is too many people? Because they're going to sign the New Day. They're absolutely going to sign the Motor City Machine Guns. That's probably out of these two rounds of releases, probably the only two acts they sign. You know, Aleister Black is a not likely, I would say. And you know, you might see the occasional person come in for a tryout here and there, maybe works during Ring of Honor tapings. But I think these are the two acts they're going to sign. But man, there's still a lot of people that they've signed just this year. It's crazy.
No, Tony Khan subsidizes a good chunk of professional wrestling. But I want to explain this to you. The dam can only break is with morale. Tony Khan, I don't think people understand what a billionaire means. Tony Khan is a billionaire. You can say, well, Shad's the billionaire. No, they are billionaires. Yeah. They can keep this company running and signing as many people as they want for as long as they want until people stop buying Arnold parts. Like, these people are a level of wealth that we as rational human beings just cannot contemplate. Now what's going to hurt is people wanting their shot.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to have like your Phoenixes, you know, tweeting out pictures of themselves in a straitjacket, you know. How's that going, by the way? You're not going to be able to make everybody happy, but I mean, that's the wrestling business. Is if you're a star, you get reps. Like, you're going to get opportunity because you've gotten over, right? Like, and they have taken, be like, look at Harley fucking Cameron. 2 years ago, we were like, oh damn, that's the hot Australian chick, and now she actually made herself somebody with a modicum of talent on that roster. Yeah. Like, that's an example of Jim Ross likes to say, maximizing your minutes. Like, so it can happen on that show. It's just hard.
Yeah, it is. Cause you just got so many people. There's probably people that are signed that we've never actually seen on television. They have people that are signed that we haven't seen on television for years. Like, you know, Britt Baker, all of a sudden Camille shows up a couple weeks ago and she's back off TV again. She got a title shot and they promoted American Gladiators and she's gone again. It's just, you know, just so many people, so many great talent. Like, if you do sign there, you got to understand that you're not likely to get a whole lot of reps. You're not likely to get on TV too much. It's just, it's crazy. Okay, he's getting a push in AAA, Phoenix. He just had a great match yesterday. SmackDown, not so much. Yeah, he is back in AAA, and they reformed the Lucha Brothers too there.
In AAA. Yeah. Do you think Phoenix signed with WWE to work with the company that he came from?
No, but I think that's why WWE signed him, because that deal was coming.
I didn't know that though. That's what I'm saying. There's a difference between WWE signed him for AAA and Rey Fénix wanted to be in WWE, like his brother is being very successful. This is a guy who was better off in AEW, quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. And Penta is better off in WWE, and Fénix, his style was better off in AEW, but he's going to go where his brother goes. Yeah, and now he's not really doing too much at least on American television. He's not doing too much. But yeah, I'm just so curious how this all works out. Let me see. We got a couple of super chats I want to get to. Glassdoor Gamer says, you guys see the report from Eagles Insider who connected with Super Agent Nick. Tongalo for TNA World Champ. No, we're not getting Tongalo as TNA World Champ. Triple H getting paid during cuts. Of course, Triple H is getting paid
Cuts. Why wouldn't? Yeah. I mean, like, are you aware of how big business works?
Yeah. And he says, if AEW fans are just WWE fans that want more wrestling, wouldn't they be TNA fans? I think that the AEW fans are AEW fans, but they're closeted WWE fans because they cheer when the WWE stars come over, just like they cheer whenever TNA stars come over. It's
they're wrestling fans.
They're wrestling fans. They just have a preferred company that they like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, they're work rate fans. They, if you, you know, like, well, yeah, but when Jake Hager showed up, they didn't cheer. You know, like when Soraya showed up, I don't believe there was a whole lot of cheering.
She got a pop when she came in for sure. She did. But then, like, she did. Yeah, she did. She came in with some fanfare, but it didn't last long because, you know, the wrestling ability of the wrestlers had just kind of passed her by at that point because she had not wrestled in a long time.
Okay, AEW. Too many pay per views. Tony Khan disagrees.
The people because they have too many people. No, they have too many people. Yeah.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some more chats.
I misread that.
Hello, Corporate Mike and JD and crew. Okay. Sometimes Jimmy Jam came along. It's the Freebird Road. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, Jimmy Jam work was with them in Texas too. So Jimmy Jam was always the Freebird by extension.
He was like the what was the for the Beatles? He was like Pete Best, and then like
Pete Best.
Yeah.
George Martin.
Yeah. Let's see. Xavier Woods probably more said he can't hang out with Trish Stratus at the WWE event. So
well, wouldn't you be?
Yeah, for sure. All right. Chad Schultz, as a realistic TNA fan, I just want them to sign Jeff Cobb, Matt Taven, and UHA Nation. I think those are realistic signings because Jeff Cobb didn't burn a bridge in New Japan, but there was a reason why he wanted to go. I know a New Japan insider gave me some insight to that. He did not burn a bridge there. He actually left on pretty good terms.
But
I don't think that he wants to travel back and forth to Japan all the time anymore.
I think that's why he left.
Yeah. So I think that TNA becomes a realistic possibility. But here's the thing. If you watch that show and you see how they book, if you're Jeff Cobb, you got to understand that they're not going to do anything with you because of the style that you work and the lack of personality that you have, right? Like, he is a super strong style. Now, if he wants to come in as Matanza Cueto, okay, then he probably gets a push, right? But if he comes in as just Jeff Cobb, really good pro wrestler, they'll probably bring him in for 6 months, gas him up as a monster babyface, and then he's probably gone. That's just kind of what they do.
Okay, so if I'm Court, here's what I do. I bring in Jeff Cobb, right? And then I run a storyline where Cesar Duran is slowly trying to turn him back into the monster Matanza, where, you know, he's getting in his head. Dude, Court, I know you're listening. There's my free one for you. I do think that's actually a pretty good storyline.
That is a good one. You can have it. Yes, that is actually a really good one. Now, if Cork can just get a video editor, they can put their TV show back out.
Dude, they only want someone who's edited wrestling television before. Like,
well, somebody like just
six dudes.
So WWE just fired a WWE television producer that's been working for 25 years. So that could be their guys.
That's probably beneath him to actually do the video editing, but you know, yeah.
Yeah. AEW should look at releases or letting contracts expire. I think they want to do business the right way. If they sign you and hold you to a contract, they expect you to hold up your end of the deal, so they will pay you the entire time, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you get in some kind of trouble or other people have asked for their releases and they've gotten those too. Some people didn't, right? Some people didn't get their release when they asked, but they, like, you can say whatever you want about AEW, but they at least try to do business the right way. When they sign a contract with you, they're going to hold up their end of the deal and pay you through the end of that contract.
Yeah, they don't pull the Santos Escobar one where they sign you to a 7-figure deal and release you 3 months later.
Yeah. Let's see. All right. So there's people having a conversation with each other here. Okay, Jeff Cobb is a solid signing if TNA could get him. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, who else do we think WWE is getting?
I don't like playing that game because that's weird. I hate being like, oh, that dude's losing his job because there's people I thought should be fired long ago that just keep sliding by. If I'm Matt Cardona, I'm getting a little, you know.
Yeah, Matt Cardona, Phoenix, right? Like, that would be, he's probably, because AAA is a thing and like working out pretty well.
How much is he worth? I bet they're paying a lot more for Phoenix than they are Laredo Kid.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So, and they're probably not getting a ton of return on investment there. And I think that's what it comes down to. And so, Ibu kind of went off on Twitter. Our buddy Ibu, friend of the show, been on several times. He kind of went off on Twitter and he was talking about it. And he's like, look, if you're coming in and you're bottom bottom level main roster WWE, you're probably making $350. And he's a plugged in guy, so I don't think he's making this up. I think those numbers are, he's probably in the right ballpark. He said if you get above that, you're making in and around 500,000. And then you got people that are making like seven figures. And if you're not over and you're making that much money, and if you're not drawing, selling tickets or selling merchandise, they're going to want you to renegotiate, or they're just going to cut your ass. So it's almost like you're better off making like 350. You'll get to keep your job.
But that's like sports, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because back in the day, you would pay, you'd always, baseball specifically, you would pay for past performance. And now a lot of clubs have gotten away from that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of get it. Like, if you have a bunch of guys on seven-figure deals that aren't netting you seven-figure profits, like, what's the return on investment? Like, I hate being a dick, and I hate defending those guys.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. Like, you can restructure your deal if you want to stick around. Like, I get the New Day being like, nah, man, we don't know what they offered them, but I get them being like, we're worth more than this. And they probably are, because Tony Khan will pay them. That's what's nice about having a legitimate competitor in the marketplace, is the market determines your value.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not going to pull it up, but I said, if you're a wrestler that gets offered big money in WWE, you have to be cognizant of the fact that unless you get over as a top talent and are a big merch seller, WWE is going to try to get out of that deal as soon as possible. Main roster minimum is 350. If you're like a mid-carder and they throw 500 at you, you're getting that for a year. You're going to get whacked unless you find yourself a yeet. So, you know, get yourself a catchphrase, making, you know, make freaking t-shirts and all that stuff. He said, with this new system, this does allow a clear path for new indie wrestlers to make it to WWE main roster in like a year and a half to 2 years. Underneath the top guys, they want Raw and SmackDown full of people on rookie deals, so to speak. So yeah, like football teams. Mm-hmm. So my advice to indie talent, post them highlight reels, find a yeet, do whatever you need to do, get jacked. If you're short, get lifts in your boots. If you're a woman, dye your hair or find an extremely distinct look and presentation. I think he means knockers. I think that's what he means. Cannons. Go for the cannons and blonde is probably what he means there. But yeah, so they're, you know, that's what they're doing. Like with the UFC, you know, UFC eliminated all of their competitors and they didn't even negotiate with top stars whenever they wanted more money. Like they just let Francis Ngannou walk and he was their world heavyweight champion. So you want to go to PFL or you want to go to boxing, fucking go. And that's how they're keeping the salaries low. And like they cut people all the time, even on winning streaks. And they bring people into these low salaries. They do lots of shows at the Apex, which is essentially the same thing as the PC in Orlando, similar setup and low cost live events. And they're making tons of money on these TV deals. That's keeping the overhead low and they're just keeping the money for them and their shareholders. That's just kind of how it is.
Hasn't fan interest in UFC kind of dropped a little bit over the last couple of years?
I cannot remember the last time I sat and watched a full UFC. And I used to be a UFC fanatic. Like, I watched every show. I knew every fighter. I knew who their coaches were. Like, I knew what fight camp they were out of. That way I can do fantasy matchups because you typically didn't have two people from the same camp fighting each other, only on rare occasions. So, like, I kind of knew all that stuff. Now it's like I just kind of watch the main events, kind of like what I used to do with boxing. Right.
Yeah. UFC's got a massive star problem at the moment. Like where they're still doing well, but they've almost reached that level of too big to fail. But at the same time, if interest plummets, then like they're not going to get those kind of deals. Like, and the Paramount deal is paper money. Like, I want to say paper money because money is paper, but it's like phantom money. Like, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's funky. Like there's a lot of funkiness going on with these Ellisons, and like I think over the next couple of years you're going to start seeing some interesting things develop there. Put a pin in that. But like I think that you don't want, I mean, with professional wrestling it's one thing, because I like the idea of being able to move. I don't think this is a bad idea from WWE, because this is like, this is kind of the heart of what pro wrestling always was. And I think that AEW has a problem too with too many guys that stick around that locker room for too long.
Yeah.
Right. I think that stagnancy in professional wrestling has been a real thing over the last 20 years. I think there needs to be more movement between the companies. I don't necessarily think Tony Khan has to run his business like TKO, but it's better. What pro wrestling has that UFC doesn't is a legitimate competitor, right? Because PFL is whatever, but it doesn't have the market play. It doesn't have the market share that AEW has. It just doesn't.
So PFL is they get less viewers than TNA, and that's the biggest competitor to the UFC, which is why a lot of their fighters went to boxing, because they were doing gimmick boxing matches, because that's where they could actually get paid. Now, PFL was paying fighters good money, but they were not making, like, it almost comes across as some type of like crypto scam, you know. It's like a money laundering scam. Like PFL, there's just no way they can make money, but they're spending a ton of dough on former UFC fighters, and they were not generating any interest whatsoever.
PFL is like what people accuse AEW of being.
Yes,
right. Like people like the grift, the dishonest grifters act like AEW is like this bargain basement. They get no viewers, they get no ratings, they get no fans showing up their shows. That's not true. Like, it's not WWE, but even WWE isn't what WWE was a year or two ago. So, but like PFL, that kind of is that. Like PFL is like, it's less, it's like they get less people than like RAF shows get now. It's it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. They just, and they're just kind of gassed up by these investment bankers, like, you know, I don't know, like, and they, it's just kind of go around and like and raise money, you know. It's like, why don't you guys make money? Why do you have to go around and raise funds all the time? Like, you know, you guys are a professional fighting organization, why don't you sell tickets? But they just like, they no, they go around and like ask for handouts, like new investors all the time. It's pretty fucking kind of weird.
Super weird.
Yeah, we got us another super chat. So I was a big UFC fan and saw TKO basically destroyed, and they're running the same playbook on WWE. They don't need many wrestlers with commercials. Yeah. TKO, since they took over, kind of really killed a lot of fans. Now, they killed a lot of my fan interest, but they're still selling a lot of tickets at really high prices, and they're still doing well with ratings, but it's not really getting, you know, now that they're off of ESPN, they're not really getting a ton of mainstream coverage, because Paramount Plus is not the same. So
it's not a real network.
Yeah, he's saying UFC fans are down on the product, but they've been replaced by people who watch the celebrities and cachet in the seats. Ratings are meh. Yeah, like there's nothing to write home about. But
that doesn't last. We've seen stuff like that come and go over the decades, where the celebrities will show up a little bit and then they'll get bored and move on and do something else. I mean, yeah, it's cool to hang out in the seats for something now, but I mean, that doesn't stay. People draw that, then they go to the next big thing, the next cool thing, right? Yeah. Like, there's not, that's not a great way to run your business. The NFL doesn't have to do that. No. And that's the thing, is that I don't know how long for the world TKO truly is.
So that's the thing. So, you know, what is the future of WWE under TKO? And I guess this would apply to the UFC, because it just seems like Endeavor's gassing this thing up to sell it, right? Like, is that, I mean, it's pretty clear that that's what they're trying to do. And would they go back to, like, would they go private, you know, at that point? Like, I just don't know. I don't know what the future looks like. You know, if I'm a WWE legend, and I'm one of the 100 to 200 WWE legends that's on a WWE Legends deal, I hope you're not, you know, living off of that money, because I don't think you're going to have that for very long. I mean, that's got to be happening next, right?
Legitimately, I don't know if you can live off a WWE Legends contract. I don't think it's that much money, quite frankly. I think you might be right about this, because the way they run their, they're very much running these businesses to maximize profits immediately. And there was a time when we were talking to a buddy of ours, like, I think they're going to sell to Saudi. Well, just last week, Saudi announced that LIV Golf is going
away. Yeah, you know, so
the Saudi public money fund is like,
so Cousin Joe, he's not like an insider or anything, but he's just kind of like reading everything that's all WWE related. And he posed to me a theory that part of why these cuts are happening and part of the downsizing is because WWE is preparing for life without Saudi backing.
It's possible
that they think that Saudi might end up pulling the plug on this deal because the war has really ravaged that region. It's ravaged the oil market. It's really bad there right now. Fucking $4 a gallon here. Thanks, Trump. And Saudi pulled out of LIV Golf, and now they did pump a bunch of money into this Paramount, you know, WBD merger, where like Saudi's got a lot of money in it.
Yeah, but that all happened before that. Yeah. Like, those deals all happened before we went to war. That's why I keep saying, that's why I just said a couple minutes ago, like, yeah, it's a little funny money. We got to see how this goes, because like Qatar bought Trump that gigantic plane that now they have to repair their gas fields. So they said it's going to take 20 years to get back to where it was.
Yeah, it's really bad over there. And so if Saudi ends up pulling out of the WWE, like they spend knowing that money's coming. If that money is no longer coming, then they have to change their spending habits, which means, you know, some of your tippy top guys could be on the way out. And that's where the theory was that people theorizing that CM Punk might be, you know, a guy that's 46, 47, like he could be on the chopping block at some point. And people were questioning whether or not AEW would bring him back
tomorrow.
Tony with takes arms him back wide open,
yeah, exactly. Under the lights. Mark Tremonti slaying in the background. Scott Stapp's arms are just broad. Tony's like, all is forgiven.
Yeah.
Phil has no pride, does the same thing. Although Danhausen will be comfortable. Danhausen's fine. He's
yeah.
Wait, who said that would be fine? Which two guys said that Danhausen would be just fine when they let him do his thing? I believe that was you and I.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's the perfect WWE act. And then once he gets stale, he's gone. They're probably not paying him like a ton of dough like on his downside, but he's probably getting a lot of merch money.
Right? And it's gonna be a thing for a little while, and then I'll move on because that's just the way it goes. So I do think Joe's got a good thought on this. Like, I think it's totally possible that the Saudis might be like, ooh, we might have to just tighten these belt buckles a bit. And like, it's not like you could sue them, right? No. You're gonna sue the country of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
The royal family? Like, where?
Dude, you know what they do to people that cross them? Like, these guys aren't fucking around. Like, yes, they do. Like, they'll fucking... Triple H is not about to cross the Saudis for sure. I think Vince would cross the Saudis. I think he would.
Say what you want about Vince McMahon, the man had balls of steel.
Yeah. Yeah. But like Nick Khan and Triple H, they don't want to be like gutted. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't want to, you know, like those Saudis don't fuck around, man. They got people in this country right now that will take you out for sure.
100%. Like, and I think you're right. I think there might be I think TKO, and I said this from the get, I don't know how long these massive conglomerations are for the world. I keep saying this with all these other things. These things are not built to last. They're like house flippers, right? Like in the 2000s, the house flipping became really cool where you bought this house, you spent some money on it, and the housing rates were just going crazy for a long time. And then you sell it for more money. And then that's just how it was. It's flipping. Like then the housing market collapsed and then it became the rental market. It's just, I have a feeling these multimedia conglomerates just aren't long for the world. Like, and I feel TKO's in the same boat.
Yeah. So Chad Schultz asked a good question. It says, honest question. How big is Anthem in Canada? Not big. So the Asper family, with the Len Asper's dad, they owned a lot of, like, they own newspapers and they own websites and they own like TV networks.
They're very similar to the Turner family.
Yeah.
They're neighbors of the Turners.
Yeah. And then, but then the dad dies, son takes over Len Asper. And he is a billionaire that is now a millionaire. If you want to know how big that's doing, like Fight Network is not big in Canada. They don't have the same publications that they used to have because those kind of just went away, like newspapers and stuff like that. So really the biggest thing that Anthem owns, right? Cause you know, they got Access, they got Fight Network. They have a bunch of these little small stations. The biggest property that they have that is the most successful right now is actually TNA because they're on AMC right now. It's like propping up the whole thing. So the Asper family is kind of look like clowns in Canada. It's the way that they now not back in the day when the dad was running shit, but Len Asper, he's not really seen as like a successful person.
Sometimes that apple falls way far from the tree, and just because your dad was a good businessman doesn't mean you're going to be a good businessman. There's two guys I can think of right now. Yeah. Like, and that whole thing's debatable too. Like, well, similar to like Shane, like Vince had the vibes like more than a decade ago that Shane just didn't have it, you know? And I guess time has kind of proved him right.
Yeah. And so when TNA fans always try to make fun of Tony Khan and say, oh, he's just a Nepo baby. I was like, oh, do you mean like Leonard Asper? The big difference between Tony and Leonard is that Tony is actually successful. It's like his business didn't go down. Like, he's actually got spinning off his own other businesses, you know, utilizing the backing of his father, of course. Like, he couldn't do it without his father, but what he's doing is actually successful. He's got several businesses that do well. So
that's why they call you Dick Gilbert.
Yeah. Yeah. Dick Gilbert Cannons. We don't talk cannons on this show anymore. No. Okay.
Dude, can we talk? We kind of covered everything. Should we talk about this? Because there's been a talk everywhere.
Yeah, like, I think we could talk about it. Like, maybe not get too specific, but yeah. So it's a weird story. So this is a guy, and he's working at a bank, not the same bank that I work at, but a major banking corporation, and he is at a new job, and he files a lawsuit against his. Like somebody, supposedly his old boss, a lady, for turning him into like a sex slave. And it turns out like the whole thing was false. And it was just like a bunch of fan fiction. And so she says in this fan fiction that he's writing, a part of the lawsuit, like where you could tell he's just like fantasizing the stuff that she would say to him, right? Very clearly. Like he had these fantasies about his boss, and it must have been like on paper or on the internet, and he got caught having these fantasies, because that's my theory. But like the lady says to him in his fantasy, is like, I bet your little Asian head wife doesn't have cannons like these. Like, nobody actually talks like that.
Not even in pornography. Like, no, this is the most and you look at this woman who's you know, gorgeous. And like works for JP Morgan. So, you know, she's successful.
Yes.
Like I read this and I'm like, there's no fucking way.
There's no way.
A billionaire is talking like this to someone beneath her. Like there's not a ghost chance in freaking hell. Like, but we were laughing.
It was pretty hilarious. Yeah. Like some of the dialogue that guy was coming up with was wild. And it turned
ridiculous shit.
Yeah. It turns out not only was it a hoax, he was trying to do it to his current boss as well. He was like using an AI chatbot to help him write another lawsuit because he thinks he's going to get somewhere. So that I think that guy should go to prison for a long time because he ruined that lady's life for a couple of days. Like she was being drugged through the mud. Now she was just getting a lot of people saying that she was hot. So but still like she's probably married and has a family and all that stuff. So she's being drugged through the mud because this dickhead is creating some fan fiction, got himself in trouble and decided to throw a lawsuit at her.
Right. And she's going to sue the ever. I imagine.
Oh, I hope so.
But I would advise her to sue the ever living shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to get any real money from it. Cause the guy didn't have much, but make this guy like just up his legal fees, just make this guy really suffer because like he really did a number. I mean, like they talk about how hard it is to be a successful like executive woman in this country, and it's for shit like that. Like it's like I was reading this stuff with my wife, and my wife got mad. Like she got like legitimately fucking mad about this, and she's like, "This is why women can't have nice things. It's because of assholes like this." And she goes, "Dickheads like you believe it." I'm like, "I don't believe this. This is real. I'm just entertained by it."
Yeah, no, we were just we were making fun of it.
Right. But that's the thing, though, is like this poor woman didn't probably again, like I thought maybe there's a chance these two were having an affair and this guy was trying to cover his own ass with it. But no, it turns out he just made the whole fucking thing up, which is like the worst of the worst. It's like it's like Costanza level of lies upon lies. And you can't get your lies are so circular. You can't even pull yourself up at this point. You're like, well, I'm fucking in for a penny. I got to commit to this one all the way. It's just the craziest shit I've ever heard.
Chad Schultz says, Mike, I do love your back and forth with Noah Gilbert. Yeah. So there's another Gilbert on Twitter, but he's like a super AEW fan and like hardcore AEW cannot do any wrong. It's pretty fun. And people say that like we're like cousins and he's like the AEW version of me. But I was like, the difference is I'm a dick to TNA like all the time. And this guy, I don't think he's ever said a bad thing about AEW, but
I don't like when fans are like that. Like, I think you do yourself a disservice. Like right now, like my kid, I'm a White Sox fan, right? White Sox are about 500 right now. They're actually playing decent average baseball. As a White Sox fan, nothing makes me happier. Mark Hobby leading the league in home runs. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, of course, because Now people are like, oh my God, the Sox are going to trade Murakami. They can get so many prospects for it. And my son, who's really starting to get into fandom, he's like, why would they do that? And I was trying to explain to him in baseball, like if the team's not good, you get rid of the best guys so you can get something. And I explained the Tim Sale 2017 trade that virtually wiped out everything. And I'm like, that's stupid. I said, it's absolutely stupid. Like, it's the dumbest thing in the world. But it's baseball. Like, and I'm trying to explain to him that, like, fandom, true fans have to criticize the thing that they love or it can't get better. Like, you have to hold ownership. Like, I have to get on, I have to tell the White Sox ownership that if you trade this one guy who's actually people give a shit about, you're just torpedoing your organization again for prospects.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing. You have to hold Mike holds TNA accountable, which is why they hate him.
Yeah. And that's what Carlos Silva to my face said, keep pushing us. And I'm like, I don't know what you just got yourself into, brother. I will do just that. You know, there's nothing I hate in this world more than fan police. People who tell me how I'm supposed to be a fan. Like, I have to just be spoon-fed whatever, like, the team that I like gives me. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm like, if I complain about the 49ers draft, I'm a dick. Right? Because, you know, maybe they drafted some players that I didn't think that they should have drafted. I thought they should have drafted some other positions before they drafted these positions. Cause I like, how would you know that they need a left guard, Mike? It's cause I watch the fucking game and I see the left guard getting bowled over all the time. Right. And now TNA fans come to me and said, Mike, you're not fanning good enough. You have to just support. You have to just be spoon fed, whatever the bookers feed. I was like, no, I don't have to do that. It's just, I don't have that kind of loyalty. They don't deserve my money. They have to earn my fucking money, right? And so that's the thing. Like, I don't fan that way.
I went through that with AEW around the Brochacho era and the poll next year. Like,
yeah.
End of 2023, 2024, I was so on AEW. And I would come on this show and I would talk about how dissatisfied I was with the WWE Lite product. Man, I had so many people messaging me that would be like, you're not as fun to listen to. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking hate my hobby. Like, this isn't fun. I don't like coming on a show and being like, I hate this. Yeah. Like, it's not fun, but you have to be real, because like, if you're not honest and if you're just chilling, like, I can't be one of those guys who goes to WWE shows and like sits in the like when they used to, when Triple H wasn't afraid to do the press conferences, and like, I can't be one. I couldn't be one of those guys. Like, why are you so awesome? I went to an independent movie once and like, they had the question and answers and they actually had people stand and go, why are you so awesome? And I'm like, I have to leave. I have to fucking leave. Like, I'm out. I'm done. I can't stand that kind of glad handing. Like, it doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you better. And that's what you have to do. Like, in sports, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. And you have to constantly be working into getting better. And I do look at wrestling as sport.
Yeah. And I always, so like every show that I review, even like when we do AEW pay-per-views, I always think of something that I like, but then I'm always going to talk about stuff that I don't like, because I think that is probably the most important talking point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and they need to hear the good stuff, but they also need to hear the bad stuff, that way they can work on it and improve it, right? If everybody's in unison giving their honest opinions, I do think that companies, and I know Tony Khan, say what you want, like, that guy's online all the time.
Oh yeah.
And he hears the feedback and he applies it. If other companies did the same thing, they might actually like be able to improve their storytelling. The problem is that, you know, I could just say for TNA, I don't really think they value fan feedback, because they just kind of do what they want. They don't really see fans as part of the ride. They just see, like, we're just marks that just need to be, you know what I mean? Like, they don't really think that we have a valuable opinion there.
I think that a lot of the TNA brass had that old school wrestling philosophy of the fans are marks. They don't know what they're talking about. We know better. Enjoy the show, which I think hurts your product overall, because there's very little fandom that invests the amount of time that doesn't know what they're talking about. Like, and it's not hard to point out that this isn't good. And like, any creative and any person in a creative field, you know, when you hear a criticism and it lands in your soul, you know it's right. If you hear something and you care about your product and you have a growth mindset, you're going to be like, yeah, man, they got a point. I could be better about that. I've been there. Yeah. Like, it's, you have to take swings and you have to get better. And that's what bugs me about it. Like this, like as a fan, you don't have to tell them, hey, everything is great. Like as a coach, right? We talk about the sandwich approach. Like I learned, because sometimes coaches can be too hard on kids when things
don't yes. work right.
You have to start with a compliment. Like you're making a sandwich. You have to start with a compliment. And the meat of the conversation has to be what needs to get fixed. And then you finish with a compliment. I truly think that when we try to review something, it should go that way too. It's like, man, this was really good. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's a complete and total clusterfuck, then you have to be honest.
Right. Like, then you have no choice.
Yeah, you have to be real. You can't say, well, you know, they tried really hard, or, you know, everyone puts their best foot forward. That's bullshit, man. These are adults. These are professionals. You have to tell them the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I told. That's what I told one of the guys there. I was like, I believe in the, well, in the military, we call it a positive sandwich. That's what I learned in leadership school, the positive sandwich. Yeah. You always start with a compliment. You always try to end with a compliment. Mm-hmm. Even if like 70% of it was bad, you still want to highlight the 30%. And that way, because if you're just telling people that they suck all the time and you don't say anything good, they're not going to listen to that either. Mm-hmm. And what I have done, JD, is I have decided that I am just going to shoot for the stars and put my fucking money where my mouth is. And unfortunately for Tommy Dreamer, he's the head booker of the company. And he and I have had an open dialogue for years. So I just said, fuck it, and started pitching him ideas. I pitched an idea for a match at Bound for Glory. It's not going to happen because not going to happen because it's a cage match. And so they have their Call Your Shot gauntlet, right? And I just always hated that name. And it's like the Royal Rumble. But then when you get to the last two entrants, like it switches to a regular match. And I think that's just kind of confusing for the audience. And I thought Call Your Shot Gauntlet was just a dumb name. So I said, instead of Call Your Shot Gauntlet, can we just call it Ultimate Elimination? I mean, it's TNA, right? You do the Ultimate X, you had Elevation X. It's not an elimination. It's like, let's just do Ultimate Elimination. And when the last person enters, it turns into an elimination match as opposed to two people, right? Ultimate Elimination. I was like, you could even lower a cage, then it becomes kind of like a War Games elimination style match. And they're not going to do that. So, okay, go ahead. JD, your thoughts on Ospreay and Mox angle.
You've read Moxley's book, right? You read John Mox's book. He is a humongous fan of Rocky III.
Yeah.
Loves the movie. This is John Moxley's Rocky III. He's asking thoughts on Ospreay Mox angle. This is John Moxley's Rocky III. He's going to pick up Will Ospreay to justify his own existence. Because if Will Ospreay is going to, if he lost to Will, then like he's got to make sure he's better. Like I'm saying, like it's that thing. This is John Moxley's Rocky III. I'm a fan. Yeah. I like it so far.
Yeah. Glassdoor Gamer says thoughts on the Rocky III vibe with Apollo Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Being Mox. Yeah, for sure. We just need to see them like running on the beach together.
That could happen, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you, I could run. They could run somewhere. I could see that happening. I could see Moxley doing something like that without being silly about it. Because Moxley does not. He'll get a little goofy from time to time, but he doesn't like getting silly.
No, you know? That's why he left. That's why he left WWE, because they started had him doing hokey shit, wearing that stupid gas mask. But yeah, I was just about to bring this up. Wasn't Punk and Mox in 2022 Rocky III? Yes. So where Rocky got crushed by Mr. T. And then he comes back later to beat him. So that was the vibe they were going for.
And that's true. Mox talked about it. He's like, it's right. Cause Punk's like, how could I lose and come back? And he goes, Rocky III. And he got mad. Mox got mad. I don't know if Mox said this out loud, but we heard this through our back channels that Mox was like, how have you never fucking seen Rocky?
Yeah. And Punk legitimately has never seen Rocky, any of the Rocky movies. And he's like proud of it, which I don't know why you'd be proud of that. Those movies are great.
That dude's such a fart sniffer. He just, I'm a fan of Punk, but he's so in love with his own thoughts sometimes that it's just like, I've never seen a Rocky movie. What's it to you? And it's like,
right.
You missed out. Most of them are pretty damn good. Like, yes. So this is Mox totally being into Rocky III. Yeah, great.
The first four are really good. Rocky V is not good.
No, Rocky
but I did like Rocky Balboa. I thought Rocky that was Balboa's a good movie.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Yeah. I like Creed.
I love all the Creeds.
The Creed movies are good. That brought us Ryan Coogler to the mainstream. Creed One, excellent, excellent movie. No, every Rocky but like five is good, and Rocky Five has its moments. It's not good overall, but there's parts of it I enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, we're actually getting close to the end here. I wonder how much are in the rights to Eye of the Tiger are. WWF, when they were running hot, decided not to use it with Hogan anymore, and they went with Real American. So I'm guessing that they had to spend some kind of money for it.
They went with that Bonnie Tyler song first before they went with Real American.
Yeah. So it was Eye of the Tiger. What was the Bonnie Tyler song?
Oh, you don't know this. Okay. So yeah. Do you remember the theme song from Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling? Is I forget who did it. I forget the name of the guy who did it. But this is a song that Hogan uses in 85, just like, because he doesn't use Real American until after the Pile Driver album comes out in 86. Because that song's made for Wyndham and Rotunda.
Right, so the U.S. Express.
Yeah. Hogan is coming out to this. It's a piano. Dun, 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 dun. Hulk, Hulk. And then they repurpose that song into Bonnie Tyler's Ravishing.
Actually. Ravishing. Yes, I just looked it up. Bonnie Tyler Ravishing. Okay.
Will they have to get us nuked if we play that?
It would. It's something we could do on Patreon.
It's fun. I mean, low key. God, I spent all my time with fucking teenagers. I legitimately like that song better than Real American. I always thought Real American's kind of corny. I think the Hogan song from the Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling, the second Hogan entrance theme, I think it's pretty damn good, to be honest with you, before Bonnie Tyler put some weird ass lyrics to it. So there's my note to you guys this week. Go find Hogan's second intro music.
Yeah.
But Eye of the Tiger is a jam, man. Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, it is. I'm gonna get through a couple more chats and then we're out of here. Let's see. Good evening, JD and Dick.
Hey, all right. The King.
The King. Let's see. It's Step Up from the indie Nazi film Romper Stomper is the name of that movie that Mox was mimicking from 2024. Romper Stomper is actually a good movie, it is about white supremacists in I think Australia, right? So
that is until you said that, I never thought about that, but that's totally what Moxley was doing in 2024. Yeah.
Yeah, they were being heels. They were just mimicking Russell Crowe from Romper Stomper from when Russell Crowe was younger. Yeah.
Never thought of
that. All right.
Hey, man.
Sorry, movie question. Just curious. JD, are you a Robert Eggers fan? I'm excited for a werewolf.
So I had never seen The Witch and I had never seen The Lighthouse before I went and saw Nosferatu. I'm a huge horror, like old school horror fan.
Yeah.
And last year I went and saw Nosferatu and it was one of the most weird, uncomfortable horror movie. Like not just uncomfortable, but just like the vibe was super uncomfortable. And I really liked it. I really dug Nosferatu. I think it's one of the most true adaptations of Dracula that I've ever seen. And it made me a fan of Robert Eggers. So I definitely want to check out his werewolf because the Blumhouse werewolf movie that came out last year, Wolfman, it was such an utter piece of shit that
I didn't even give that a chance.
It's the worst werewolf in movie history. And I love werewolves. My first book was a book called Harvest Moon. It's my biggest selling book. Yep. It's a werewolf book, and it's like my pride and joy as a piece. Second book, Andy's correcting me. It's the second book I wrote.
Andy rules. What a little shit.
This fucking guy. I love that. So I really want to see what Robert Eggers does with a werewolf movie. It's super, super. He's one of the most interesting filmmakers going around. I'm a fan.
Yeah, it's funny.
You made Mike laugh, by the way. Mike didn't stop laughing.
I took my daughter to Subway because she wanted like a sandwich and a cookie, and so we went there today and got her sandwich. Then I made my sandwich, and I just wasn't paying attention. And like they're getting ready to finish up my sandwich, and my daughter goes, "Oh, hold on, my dad wants extra pickles. Daddy, you forgot your extra pickles." And I was just like, "She's right, I do want extra pickles." So
you pay attention, man. They know your stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But all right, guys, that's gonna do it for us this week on the Mike and JD Show. Head to patreon.com/the Mike and JD Show. We'll try to crank out some more content. Last week we tried to do an overtime where we watched Juggalo Championships Wrestling.
What a fucking nightmare.
We're watching Cocaine versus Dolph versus Matt Riddle versus
Caleb with a K.
Caleb with a K, yeah. And Vince Russo was the star of that show. But in the middle of the match, my computer blew up, so I had to come back on. We couldn't finish the match, so we just talked shit for a little while on my phone. So it was actually ended up being a pretty fun show. So
better than we were watching the match, actually. The match was it was hard. It was a hard match to watch.
Yeah, it was. It turns out Cocaine, not good for the Mike and JD Show. Also not good for tweeting. So stay off Twitter and Coke, fellas. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this time. And until next time. Mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game.
That was a fun
show. Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.